Als Elektronikmusiker, als Electronic Musician, ist natürlich das Instrument, Hauptinstrument. Guck mal, hier ist ein Kabel drin. Ne? Guck mal. Und wieder rein.
Radio Woltersdorf and Pi Radio equals Super Radio 2026. Live from the Super Booth 2026 from a mobile studio.
Also hereinspaziert und mitgemacht. Ihr habt doch die Pionierbluse an oder wenigstens euer Halstuch umgebunden. Natürlich beginnen wir mit einem Lied.
End of file.
So, wir nähern uns langsam dem Ende des heutigen Sendetages live von der Superboost 2026 auf Pi Radio, Radio Woltersdorf im Internet auf fr-bb.org, DAB Plus Kanal 7D und 12D in Brandenburg. Genau, auf vielen Kanälen. UKW haben sie uns geklaut, egal. Wir haben jetzt hier jemanden, und zwar zwei Herren. I presume you're from the US.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes. So Brett and Jason joined us from Jam Sandwich. And I saw your presentation online before, and I was intrigued by it because you are targeting a special audience that is kind of getting more and more rejected or lost with the development of digital devices at the moment, because they are more and more screen-based and touchscreen-based, and you're going in a different direction. It's very hands-on. So what are you presenting at Superbooth?
Yeah, thank you for having us, first of all. We're building a sequencer that works for people who are blind, colorblind, or anybody that wants to use it. So it's really audio-based on its feedback. So the idea is that rather than having to read a screen, it just speaks to you in any language. And so as you're sequencing, you would tap it and it would say, hey, I'm going to turn a step on, and you turn it, it'll say on, off. And so you can basically do entire sequencing with the device just by just listening to it and tapping and turning knobs.
So it's a, what is it, a 4x4 grid?
Yeah, it's a 4x4 grid of push button rotary encoders. And so the idea is that you each knob is actually one step in a 16-step sequence, so that you can easily go through and turn steps on and off. You can set voltages to any level. So it's really a pretty complete sequencer in a very small package.
It's kind of interesting too, as you look through the sequencer, the operations that you do in order to turn steps on, turn them all the same. And if you change over to changing a voltage or something, it's all the same. So very quickly you develop this muscle memory, which allows you to operate the sequencer without even looking at it. You don't necessarily have to have, you know, any type of visual feedback whatsoever to operate it successfully.
Yeah. Yeah. And what we've learned over the past 2 years of coming to Superbooth is that people are excited about it, not only because it works for a range of people with different abilities, but also in talking with performers, they're like, oh, I can route that audio to my cue and I can listen to it and have confidence on the stage of what I'm loading, what I'm interacting, what I'm doing, because they're like, hey, I'm on a dark stage, I can actually hear what's going on and maintain it. So the device itself has its own audio out, so you can route it wherever you want.
And where's this coming from? People can't see you, but
yes.
You are losing your vision, if I understand correctly.
Yeah, that's true. It was probably about 8 years ago, I've always had low vision all my life, but about 8 years ago, I had a significant change in my eyesight. And I used to use like electron boxes and other things, and all these devices that have displays on them, I couldn't read them anymore. And so one of the things I really liked about Eurorack is that it's really an instrument you can put your hands on. And so I started using it, and I couldn't find a sequencer that quite fit for me. And so I just talked to Jason one day. I'm like, I want to build the sequencer. And
I said no, but then he kept talking.
Yeah, that's right.
And he talked you into it.
Well, we're still having the conversation.
But now you have a product.
Yes. Yeah.
I lost the conversation.
Yeah.
You did.
Yeah. So
now, what is your background is in hardware engineering?
Yeah, I'm an electrical engineer by trade.
Yeah. Yeah, my background's software. So, and actually, he and I went to college together, so we've known each other for quite a while.
So, we won't say how long.
Yeah. But it's been really good. It's it's been a lot of learning for me. And so for us, it's exciting this year because we're actually getting to the manufacturing part. So we've been developing it over the past couple of years. And so we're just now getting into our early manufacturing. And so we're looking forward to shipping this year. So been a lot of fun.
What time about?
We're hoping about Q3 of this year. So we just got the first round of stuff back from manufacturing and we've continued to adjust that. So our goal is like next 6 months or so, we'd like to be in that space. But manufacturing has its, you know, lags at times. So we're just working through all that.
Yeah, with the situation in the US, like, do you see this as also a potential market for you? Or are you going to be more national in your distribution? Or how does it work?
Yeah, that's a good question. We're working through those pieces right now, but I expect it to be international. One of the things that we're demoing this year at Superbooth is the fact that you can download any language pack. I have it in 70 different languages, so you can just pick your language and install it. And then you can do some subtle things too, like once you wire everything up for a show, you can name the track. So it's not track one, it's your bass drum or it's your hi-hat. And so that way when you're operating it, you just know exactly what track you're on when you want to interact with it. So we found that not only can we make it, you know, more globalized with all the languages, you can make it however you want so if you're comfortable with it. So we've really allowed it to be highly customizable.
And the voices that you're using for the navigation system, are they common voices that people are used to from screen readers, or do you have people that are actually using like speak for you, like voice talents? Or
I use text-to-speech engine, so I use the Microsoft Azure voices and they cover 70 plus languages. So I'm pretty certain some of them won't be quite right. So I have a system set up so people can give feedback and please correct this. But I've really done it with the text-to-speech tools.
Mm-hmm. The text-to-speech tools too is quite an improvement. The original prototype featured Brett's voice and you can hear the jam sandwich as it started up. Yeah. It was kind of fun.
But it's really nice. And given my background in software, like I just naturally also think about how do you globalize it? People ask, you know, why are there symbols on it versus words? I'm like, well, I can put the symbols next to words in any language so that anybody can learn it and use it and interact with it so they can pick the language that works best for them.
And you're also using a special kind of color scheme, right?
Yeah. The interesting about their full RGB colors, and when you look at colorblindness, for example, 4% of the male population is red-green colorblind, and a lot of devices have red-green LEDs on them. And so we've laid out the colors that you can actually, it has a default set, but you can set it to anything you want. So you can go in and make it any color, because you may want it just because that's your style that you want to project, or you can select it so that you can more easily visually distinguish what you want. So we've really left that open from an audio and visual perspective for what you need. And then you're actually able just to plug in a USB cable to your computer. And on the device is a little web page you can open so you can basically modify anything you want. So yeah, our goal is just to make it however you want to use it, you can use it. If you need it because you're low vision or blind, great. If you need it because you want to be more confident on the stage, that works as well.
And I didn't quite understand. Does it come with like presets, or you also can somehow feed it with your own sound?
Yeah, it's a great question. It does have, I have preset voice packs you can just download. And then they're just 16 kilohertz, 16-bit mono files. So you can put any audio you want there. So if you wanted to go and use your own voice to lay everything out, you can do that as well. They're just audio files on an SD card.
And the SD card is within the device?
Yep, it's in the device. And one of the things that I was very careful about was making sure that you can just plug in a USB cable and plug it into your computer. I didn't want you to have to take it out of the rack and do all the stuff. So I wanted to make it as easy to use as possible for anybody. Because I got a bunch of Eurorack stuff. And I found that over time, if I have to pull it out and like play with the SD card, I just tend to use that device less and less. And so I wanted to make sure that if it's going to be something that's, you know, important for your show and for your set, that you can update it and use it as easily as possible.
Yeah. I mean, these things are tiny. And I think if you don't have vision or low vision, it's even harder. And I remember I have some modules which are very prone to like where the card falls in between some gaps.
Yes.
Or something like that, if it's like not fully stocked with modules, for instance. And yeah, so I think the positioning is really important, not only of the knobs but also of all the plugs and other slots.
Yeah, and we purposely across the top it just goes the USB plug you know, a clock reset in, and then you have the capability to support 16 CV outs to use it however you want. And then it has its own dedicated audio out. So it's 22 HP wide with a 4x4 set of knobs. So it's actually quite compact for the amount of sequencing it can do in the space. So yeah, it's a lot of fun.
And if you become a pro at playing it, you can design your own user interface sounds and use it kind of as a crazy, like beyond 16-step audio sequencer.
That's true.
And play the menus, so to speak, which you would probably be a person to be able to do that.
Yeah, it'd be a lot of fun. So a lot of people come by and like, oh, I could do all sorts of funky stuff and take the audio and feed it out to the audience. I'm like, cool. So, yeah.
But that wasn't intended.
No. No, it wasn't intended, but it's certainly 100% possible. At that point, you have the sequencer engine, you have everything running, you've got two mono audio out, so...
Yeah, this meta level of kind of like a sorted title of the music translates in different ways, but to kind of have sort titles for the performer's manual labor, so to speak, audio sort titles. That's an unusual artistic choice. Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun, and you know, for me, what I found is that when I looked around for devices that could do this, I just didn't really find them, and I was trying to figure out how to get them to work. And so I was talking with Jason one day, and I'm like, hey, I just want to go build this thing. And he's like, great, you give me the design and shape, and then we'll go start making it happen. And so it's been a project that we've been doing for a few years now, and but it's been great. I think it's really fun when you can take something you've had in your mind for a while and then be able to share that with the world in a unique way. And really, I hope it inspires other people to make their hardware more accessible.
And are you in contact with any kind of organizations for blind musicians, for instance?
I am actually just now getting a bunch of those contacts. So if anybody, you know, has contacts, I would love to do that.
Yeah, we had a former interview here a couple of years ago. Erica Synth, they're very active also for more accessibility, and they have this foundation called Finestra. So I think they're here, awesome. So you should really connect.
Our last interview was Paul from Error Instruments.
And yeah, Paul from Error Instruments also developed something.
Oh, great. Yeah, so, I'll absolutely connect with them at the show.
You're hanging out here for 3 full days.
Yeah.
So talking about artists, is there any artist that already had your device at hand and could play something around with it?
Or
make a sample pack?
Boy, I would love all the above. The answer for us is happy to work with anybody that wants to, for a couple of reasons. I would love feedback, and we're just getting to the point now where things are going into production. So we have several devices that I'd just love to be able to work with someone and play with it and give feedback and how do we iterate it. And actually being at the show the past couple of years has been critical for us, because so many people come by at the booth, and a lot of people are just going to sit and they're like, okay, I don't like this. I don't like this. I want this. I'm like, awesome. And because of all that feedback over the past couple of years, at the show, it's really actually changed quite a bit of the shape of the device. So it's been good.
And since it's your first and only module at the moment, what is your day job? Or do you still have day jobs? I don't say how old you look, but just guessing you're around the age.
Yeah. No, I'm definitely still employed today. So, my day job is software, and I've actually been fortunate where I've worked in software for quite a while to help make things more accessible. So I have a unique background in that space, but also it's more of my lived experience that really brought this device about, because even most of the DAW software isn't very accessible, you know, so there's a lot of work to be done there. But what I really love about Eurorack is it's hands-on. You're playing a real instrument. And so the missing piece for me was, how do I sequence it? And so I decided if I'm going to make the device for me, I should just go ahead and make it for the world and we'll see what happens. But I really appreciate Superbooth and just everyone here, because it's been massively helpful just to get feedback. And everybody here is awesome.
Very supportive. Very supportive.
Yeah, nothing but a great time.
Enthusiastically so.
Yeah. And met a bunch of vendors who have been helpful. And so it's been great. And whoever's listening out there that's not been here, you should come. I would love to show up as an attendee sometime, because there's so much cool stuff going on with all the music and everything. And every time I come here, my friend's like, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to go do my vendor thing, but I really just want to show up and just hang out and enjoy the show. So maybe someday, but that's great.
And just a question, like from your standpoint of someone with low vision, how easy do you, or difficult do you find it to navigate Berlin in comparison to your hometown in the US?
Well, boy, that's interesting. The thing about when you live in a neighborhood, you get used to it, right? So I often tell people, like, you know, people are like, how is it to get around? I said, well, you know, oftentimes you just get up in the middle of the night and you go get a glass of water, use the restroom, and you don't think about it because you know that area really well.
But if you're traveling in the US, I mean, really compare it to Germany, maybe.
Yeah, I think what I've found that makes the most difference is the people, and everybody's been really gracious. And they've actually like, hey, would you like help? So here, everybody that I've interacted with has been great. So to me, it's about the interaction with people that make the travel great. And then we just like we took the train down here, like super simple to take the train. So it's been really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jason, you haven't said so much. Do you want to add something?
Can I pass?
Of course you can pass. Well,
I think Brett's done a very good job of describing where we are as a company and what we're shooting for. I mean, it's been his vision. I've been the emotional support friend that happens to know circuits, so I kind of help with that part of it. But it's been Brett's idea all along, and it's been enjoyable to watch it grow and blossom into what it has become. And you know, it's an excuse to play with my friends, so it's cool.
Yeah. Well, in the Jason understates his capabilities. He's an excellent engineer. I've known him for a while, and it's been a huge help, because I was describing to somebody else earlier where I said, hey, Jason, I want to build it. He's like, here's some parts, and I would go figure it out. And he's like, okay, great, and I'm going to help you do it right. So I'm like, all right, thank you. And I say that because the work that he's helped me put into it, you know, a lot of people are like, if you plug in a device into the Euro rack, is it going to blow up the device? It won't blow up our device. And so we've been very careful about building it to be really rock solid. If you turn the power off, it's going to auto-save the sequence. Like, we've done all of the things. I spent a bunch of time talking to people about what do you not like and like about sequencers. And so we've really evolved it from our own use, but also talking to people. So our intent is that it's really rock solid. But the intent also is it's one of at least, I've got two other devices in my mind over the course of the next few years. So I kind of want a series of three devices that kind of all link together. And so,
yeah, sequencer is not enough to make electronic music, is it?
It is not. But the cool thing, though, is there's so
many... So now we can guess what it will be.
Yes, keep guessing. But there's so many great modules and vendors that make so much cool stuff that you can mix and match. But I do have some things I think will be good for the ecosystem overall. And so I'm really excited to get to that point. So
something I was really fascinated looking at your device as well is from the accessories that you also have your own sort of cables that have two colors and also two kinds of textures.
Yeah, it's very true. So to get the density that I want to make something 22 HP wide and get 16 CV outs, I used stereo to mono cables. And I purposely had them made as purple and white because that's just the part of the branding. But also, you have one that's dark and light. So if you're colorblind, you can tell which one's which. And if you're fully blind, they're also textured for that reason, so you know which one is which. And one of the things that it does, too, when you plug and unplug the cable, it will tell you whether you're in tracks 1 and 2, 3 or 4, 5 or 6. And if you have those named, it'll say kick and bass or trig and note or whatever. So you can make that correlation. So when you plug it in, you go, oh, I know exactly what I'm doing. The first one that said is going to be the smooth purple cable. Great, I'll plug it in. So really, I wanted to make sure that it was end to end, you know, that you can plug it in and know exactly what you're doing. And you know, when you turn the knob on the device, even visually, it'll change the LED from, say, purple to white. So if you have sight, you can clearly know which cable to use based on the track that you're on.
Yeah. But I think this is super helpful because usually, I mean, I made this observation that often it kind of stops, you know, the device is great, but then how to connect it yourself, you know, even if you have vision, or sometimes you have to plug to a system in a club or something like that, you know, and then it kind of ends with your own device, and then you need the support or the help of someone. And I think this gives even more independence as well.
Yeah, that was the intent. And so when you do buy the device, you'll have the set of cables that come with it and all the things you need to be successful setting it up. So
thank you so much for coming along, and good luck and all the best for your thing. What's the name of it? The company is Jam Sandwich, but
the device is Jam Sandwich. The company is Electro Jam Instruments, so electro-jam.com. So, yeah.
Thank you for having
us.
So
there's going to be a Jam and Peanut.
Yes, exactly. That's what we've been talking about. What is the next name of the following devices? So it'll be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. But thank you so much for letting us just hang out and talk.
Brad
really
and Jason.
It.